Inside on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska. It's realestateconcepts.net. And Iowa Computer Repair. You want your computer to work? That's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday afternoon in studio with us, and we welcome her back, Bethany Wilcoxon from Capital Crossroads. Jonathan Lund is the fire marshal for the city of Des Moines, and Jim Sanders is the city administrator for the city of Johnson. Welcome, y'all. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So, Bethany, before we get into uniform building codes and what the heck all that means, you guys would know more about this than I do. I did build a chicken coop. Does that count?
Perhaps.
Yeah. But it wasn't in Des Moines. All right. So I'm good. All right. Anyway. So tell us about the Capital Crossroads. What is it? You guys have fingers in lots of things, Bethany.
We certainly do. So Capital Crossroads, as a reminder, is the regional vision strategy for Central Iowa. We have 10 different capitals or work platforms that we look at. So anything from arts and culture to education to how our governments operate and can work together more efficiently. So you'll be hearing more about that a little bit later. But we have a number of different efforts going on. We're doing a downtown workforce housing plan, downtown retail study, looking at how we can remove some of the stigma associated with mental health. Bravo Greater Des Moines is just wrapping up a regional cultural assessment. And so we are going to be using
that. A lot of different things.
We're all over the board.
Do you have like ADD so that you can – you're in all this stuff, right?
We keep all the plates spinning.
You do, don't you? I mean, think about that. You have just named – I don't know how many different initiatives, and they are all relatively different.
They are, but what the beauty of Capital Crossroads is we're really able to be that focal point and make those connections so that we're using our resources effectively. And if we say there's something going on in our governance capital, for example, using this model that you'll hear about for our natural capital and some of the parks and recreation work that we're embarking on. So really, we're able to make sure we're being more strategic as a region and make sure that we're not duplicating efforts.
That's the voice of Bethany Wilcoxon with the Capital Crossroads. And when you say capitals, you're talking about segments.
Segments, different work platforms. But we really try to break down the barriers between those different topic areas. So in addition to some of the ones that I mentioned, we look at the physical environment. So what kind of infrastructure do we have? Looking at our roadways and water trails, for instance, as well as housing and neighborhoods. Looking at our natural environment. I mentioned the regional parks plan. But, of course, all of the water quality issues that we've been dealing with over the last few years, that's where that falls. We look at our capital core, the idea being that if you don't have a strong downtown, there's no way that you can have a strong region.
Well, haven't we learned that?
We certainly have. And one thing I'm especially excited about, in the past we've really taken the look at downtown proper and then the neighborhoods separately. This time around, we're really switching that up.
Good idea.
We know there are a number of topic areas that overlap, looking at housing, commercial opportunities, infrastructure. So we're looking at all of those things together because we know downtown has had some great momentum. How can we expand that to the neighborhoods, immediately adjacent,
instance? And that needs to happen, too, and transportation and all kinds of other things that are so necessary to keep a vibrant community for all of us, not just a few.
Exactly. And that's one thing we're really trying to make sure we lift up. I mentioned the housing piece and really looking at workforce housing so that people can live close to where they work and they're not spending an exorbitant amount of money on that when they're already having to spend money on all of these other pieces. Related to that, looking at transportation. We work very closely with DART and looking at do people have the appropriate transportation options to get to the places they need to go, not only their jobs, but basic services.
Hmm. Bethany Wilcoxon, Capital Crossroads. All right, we're going to turn our attention to something called uniform building codes. Bethany, where did this come from?
With Capital Crossroads, we have our focus on the governance capital, which is really designed to increase efficiencies between our governmental agencies. So back in 2012, we launched what was called the Local Government Collaboration Project. It's a mouthful. But really the idea, let's get our different communities, we have 18 different jurisdictions signed on, memorandum of understanding, to look proactively about how we can look at some of these different topics. So one of the first projects we did through that effort was related to the fire code. So looking at the fire code for all of these different communities and really trying to streamline the development process. Why do we have a different fire code in Des Moines versus West Des Moines versus Johnston and so on and so forth?
Why can't it be similar?
Right. So that was really the impetus of this whole effort. We started with the fire code, as I mentioned. And then these two guys that are with me today, Jim and John, really picked that up and championed it for us. And
here
that's really how Capital Crossroads runs. It's all about great community volunteers like these two guys.
All right. So let's get into this just a little bit. Jonathan Lund is the fire marshal for the city of Des Moines. Jonathan, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So when we talk about fire marshals, and I used to be in the business of long-term health care, and so that was one of those, when the fire marshal came by, that was always one of those, I hope everything is okay. So you guys are the enforcement arm, is that correct, for lots of different things?
Yeah, we like to think of it as prevention. Not necessarily enforcement. That's a little harsh, but we do some enforcement as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So what you mean? There are different fire codes for different communities.
Yeah. So when this project kicked off in 2012, the focus was to look at just the fire code, but the codes, they work together. So you have building, electrical, mechanical, plumbing, fire code. When you build a building, you have to consider all of those.
Right.
So we quickly realized to have this project come with any success, we were going to have to examine all of those codes. And that's when the Central Iowa Code Consortium was born.
So what would you guys do? Sit in a room and say, okay, look, here's 18 different codes out there. How can we make this better? Did you borrow from other communities? Did you lessen the restrictions, or did you? How'd you do this?
So all good questions. We did sit in a room. We said we can't be that different from everyone else.
Right.
And we created a spreadsheet of all these participating communities and said where are the differences and where are the similarities, and we're not that different.
Right.
But the reality was, if you were on one side of the street or the other, depending on which community you're in, you may have had a different requirement for how far away from a hydrant you had to park.
Yeah.
or any of those things. So we certainly looked at all of those and said, where can we be more similar?
And at the end of the day, the helper in this is toward developers. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. The groundbreaking initiative that we did in our project was including the stakeholders, which isn't just local government representatives like Jim and myself. It's the business, it's the contractor, it's the developer. And so all of our code committees, which we eventually formed to review the international standards and make recommendations locally, they all included those key stakeholders, which were those in the business community.
So let's get around the table and talk about this just a little bit. Jim is with us. Jim Saunders is with us from the city of Johnston. He's the city administrator there. How did you guys get roped into all this stuff? Did it just make sense?
It certainly makes sense as we're a suburban community for Des Moines. You know, as we took a look at our codes compared with Des Moines codes and the others, it didn't make sense that we had different codes for our communities. And so I got involved primarily because I have an interest in good government, and I think this was a good program to be involved with. And I was really looking at it more from the administrative side.
Mm-hmm.
We have an executive committee that helps drive this process, and our executive committee consists of three people that are in the fire service, six people that are in the building service, and then two of the administrator types. And I'm one of the administrator types, and part of what we needed to do is we needed to get communities across the metro area interested in this. And so, for example, we put together a memorandum of understanding that we went out and talked with all the city councils to say, here's what we're trying to do, and do you want to participate in this? And so we eventually had 18 governments get involved, and so we've gone through the first cycle of our code review, which is for the 2015 codes, and they're now out in the communities right now, and the communities are considering them. And so our hope is we get as many communities to adopt the codes that we've offered them through our review process that Jonathan talked about, and get as much consistency with our codes across the metro as we can.
What about the differences that still exist in some of the communities? For example, Des Moines, as it sits today, is a much older community with infrastructure than what is, say, Johnston. Johnston is kind of pretty much new and shiny in lots of places there. Mm-hmm. So how did you come to reconciliation with those kinds of relatively old, you know, buildings down here back in the 20s to very new in Johnston or in West Des Moines or in Clive?
I think that's one of the beauty of our project is that each community is different. Each community has its own type of vibe that they have. And
right.
So even though we're trying to get more consistent with the codes, we have to recognize that each community has different issues that they have to deal with. And so we're trying to find the consistencies that we can, but we realize at the end of the day, Des Moines is going to have certain codes that they are important for them. For example, Des Moines dealing with the tall buildings. We don't have tall buildings in Johnston. And so those codes are more relative to what Des Moines is doing. And so through this process, the cities still have the opportunity at the end of the day to adopt codes that they feel are more appropriate for their communities. But we're offering at least a process where we're reviewing the codes with the business community as well as the government representatives, and we're offering to the cities a code that's been vetted through that process. And again, if we can get the more consistent we can get, the better. And so I think we've made a lot of progress in getting more consistency across the metro. But there's still going to be differences within each community.
You just brought up an interesting topic, so I have to ask the question. Could we build a 45-story structure in Johnston?
Our code right now doesn't allow size of a building. I think we're only allowed to go up to 50 feet in our current code.
Got it. To
say that someday somebody might come in with a project that would be much taller, and that's something we'd have to consider.
Sure.
But that isn't really what our code currently has in place.
I didn't think it probably did, but I had to ask the question.
You bet.
You talked about size. So when we talk to contractors, Bethany, what are they saying about this? Does it make it easier for them to plan and build and then get projects done on time?
Yeah, the idea is that they'll have to know one code versus 18 different codes. So that was really a lot of the impetus for this mm-hmm. project moving forward from 2012, that we wanted to make sure that we streamline this process. And for the communities as well, that we make sure we're being great stewards of the taxpayer dollars.
Right. Was it a hard sell in Johnston, Jim?
I think I've talked to most of the city councils in the metro area, representatives of most of the city councils, and I think everybody agrees with what we're trying to do from the perspective of making development easier in the metro area. I think everybody's on board with that. I think everybody's on board with the fact that we, at the table, we had government officials as well as business officials and the trades involved in those conversations. So everybody's excited about that. And so now we're at the point where the councils now have to consider, is this the code we want to adopt, or do we want to adopt this code with amendments? And so it is still going back and still a very individual community decision. But I think everybody felt that what we're trying to do and the reason why we're trying to do it made a lot of sense for the metro area.
So, Jonathan, a question for you. He's the Des Moines Fire Marshal. So you take care of inspections, if you will, and protection issues, not enforcement, in the city of Des Moines. You have counterparts in the other communities that surround Des Moines?
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the neat things about this process is it gets all of my counterparts together, and we look at what codes, where can they be improved, where can we add consistency, and then we get to learn from each other. There was a lot of amendments that people proposed through this process. We take public amendments to the codes, and then we vetted them through these committees. And when my counterparts got together and we discussed them with, again, those key individuals from the business community, we were able to find out things that maybe we hadn't been aware of in the past, that a best practice in West Des Moines or Urbandale or Johnston that we could incorporate in Des Moines and vice versa.
Isn't it amazing when we start talking to each other? Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, really. We are talking with Bethany Wilcoxon from Capitol Crossroads. That was the voice of Jonathan Lund, the Des Moines Fire Marshal, and Jim Sanders is the city administrator for the great city of Johnston, which, by the way, I have to just dovetail into another question for you, Jim. You guys are on fire up there with all kinds of redevelopment along the Merle Hay Corridor. How's that coming?
Oh, we've got a lot of projects that are happening, and it's a very exciting time to be in Johnston, both from a commercial as well as residential development. We have a lot of things happening. I think we have a brand new high school that we just dedicated or had the ribbon cutting last Monday, and so that'll be open this fall, and a lot of good reasons to show some interest in Johnston and do the investment of your business or your home in Johnston. So we're very excited
nice
about what's
plug.
Happening.
Nice plug. You did it well. But I'm really interested in that redevelopment along Merle Hay Road. That's a long-term project, I know. But that looks very interesting. I mean, some aquatics going on, some hotels, some restaurants, all kinds of things in that area?
Right. That's just north of I-3580, right on Merle Hay Road. And with the hotel that's now been taken out, that hotel had been vacant for about 8 years, and so it was nice to get that out. And
sure
I think people
was.
Can now visualize what's happening there. And the fact we have Beaver Creek that runs right by that property, we're looking at great opportunities to use the creek as a method for people to get to that property, having a restaurant where people can kayak to the restaurant, or having the type of restaurant, or we're looking at potential for hotels or whatever might happen there. We have a lot of we're looking at all different options. We don't really have an exact plan right now. We have a plan, but we don't exactly know how that's going to happen. But the good news is we've done a lot of the legwork to get that ready to go for redevelopment. Now we just need to find the right group that wants to come in and make an investment in our
community. How many acres is around that area? Do you recall?
The whole redevelopment area is about 120 acres. But we have about 60 that is for redevelopment as far as businesses and those kinds of things. So, and the rest of it's going to be park and open space so that we'll have a lot of natural area that goes along with the creek and it'll really tie in a lot of our residential areas as well.
Wow.
So a lot to do down there.
A lot to do. And we shouldn't get nervous about when is it all going to be done, because something of that magnitude is going to take some time.
We're looking at being about a 20-year plan altogether.
Sure.
But, again, we're trying to get the right pieces in place so that we're ready to go when the right developer comes along.
You know, and if somebody wants to say, okay, look, how is this going to look or how is this going to impact the community of Johnston, all one has to do is look at Gray's Lake. For an example, we had an old hotel there that had stood vacant for a long time as well. That disappeared, and look what we have now.
Oh,
it's fascinating.
I think that's a good example of what a community can do when they have a good plan and they start working that plan. And that, I think that's an excellent example, and hopefully we can get something like that in Johnston.
Good. All right. We've been talking with Bethany Wilcoxon, Jonathan Lund, who is with he's the Des Moines Fire Marshal. And Jim Sanders, that's the voice of Jim Sanders, the city administrator for the city of Johnston. Jonathan, how many folks do you have that report to you? I mean, how many fire prevention – I'm trying to use that right word there.
Our fire prevention bureau has 11 people.
Really?
Yep.
Lots of stuff to do?
We do. Yeah, we do a lot of inspections. We do fire investigations. We do public education,
sure.
Public information.
So you that's right. The fire – you know, after a fire, you guys are the one that goes in there and to find out why.
Yep. We got
how it started.
Two fire protection engineers on staff to do new buildings and new construction inspections, and we're all over the place.
So were you all over the place during the Yonkers fire?
Yes.
I would imagine so. That was quite the deal. And are they still working on that whole project? Do you know?
The Yonkers fire?
Yeah.
We had the ATF National Response Team come in. And they did a co-investigation with us, and there's unfortunately that fire will be undetermined.
Wow, undetermined. So what does that do to insurance?
That specific fire, I'm not sure what it does to their insurance, but our insurance services organization evaluates the fire department every 5 years.
Fascinating. So, right. Well, thank you. Thank you all for coming in. Thank you, Bethany, for doing this. We appreciate it.
Always great to chat with you, Michael.
Well, it is fabulous stuff. When we got the press release last week, we thought this would be important stuff for all kinds of people, and we do appreciate that. Thanks so very much.
I got you. Thank you.
All right. We've got to step aside. Why? Because it's time to take a look and see what happened today on Wall Street. Markets go up or down? We'll tell you next. Oh, by the way, we're taking it out, of course, with Roxy Copeland. Roxy, who's going to be in town at Peachtree Brewery, I believe it's on Wednesday, will be a guest of ours on that day to talk a little bit more about what she's in town for. From Milwaukee, Roxy Copeland.
All that you ever do is tease me.